away we go. It is a Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour. We are into autumn, or as we say here in the Midwest, fall. Summer is over. This is On the Air with Scott Spears and Glenn Coble. And Glenn Coble might have just had a stroke. We don't really know because his face contorted in a weird way.
Why did you say in the Midwest we call it fall,
we
not
do.
Autumn?
We do.
Well, yeah, we do. But other places in the United States call it autumn only. They never say it's the fall.
Say that again. What?
Well, you're implying that only in the Midwest is it called the fall.
No, I didn't imply that.
Oh, I thought you
did. I?
Well, that's what my brain said.
No, what I'm saying is that most people, if you say what season is this, they will say fall. If you say what was yesterday, they'll say the first day of fall. But really, it's autumn. Yeah. Fall is not the right word. But apparently here in the Midwest, the prevailing term is fall.
Out east, it's not the prevailing term?
No, I think east they say autumn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Those states on the East Coast have a lot
of... My microphone's trying to move at me.
Those states along the Eastern Seaboard have a funny way of speaking.
They do have a funny way. My mother, I think I said this last week, my mother called khaki pants cockies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So they do, and I think they...
Austin.
I think they say Austin. What? Autumn.
Autumn, not Austin. Austin's in Texas.
Austin is in Texas. See, and they screw that up.
What do they call that?
What do they call that?
I don't know. I would have to call my... We can get Kresgen back, and he can call my mother up in heaven.
Now, is it Kresgen or Kresgen?
I don't know.
I think it's Kresgen.
Okay.
Dear friend.
Okay.
Of mine. Good book.
Cool.
The Adventures of the Amazing...
I'm looking forward to the big reveal.
We will be one of three or four, but I'll be number one on the list. Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, yes. Number one.
He said awful nice things about you that are not true.
Well, you know how it goes. You know, what a show this morning for anybody who's been listening.
Oh, my goodness.
Sam Donaldson, Jackie Mason, and Amazing Kresgen.
Yeah.
Get that anywhere else.
And then you had Eleanor Clift on.
Yesterday.
And
Ed Asner tomorrow.
Asner. And you also had... another big name yesterday, didn't you?
I had the mayor yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did he have to say?
He talked on a myriad of issues. We talked about Judge Warner. We talked about Halloween. We talked about COVID. We talked about this thing going on where a local business owner here in Marion wants a tax abatement forgiven. No, they don't want it. No, it's not a tax abatement.
Okay.
A loan forgiven.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's going on. So we talked about a lot of stuff.
That's the nice thing about being old and on Social Security. I don't have any loans anymore. Well, I do have on my car.
That's all very complicated, and he described it, I think, the best he could, and we just kind of went that way.
Yeah.
But there was something. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about, because today we have a little bit. You know, back in the old days of radio, this is what I like. Back in the old days of radio, there was...
I know those days.
Yeah. I don't even know if you go back this far. You might have been a little child when this was going on. But there was always controversy in radio. Now, this never really translated into television like it did in radio. Okay. But there was always controversy. And the biggest controversy, I believe, in the history of radio was between Jack Benny and Fred Allen, who both had very successful radio shows.
I didn't know they had a conflict.
It was before you.
But
if you read about this, which you can do online, they both had very successful shows, and they made it out that they didn't like each other, and they would say stuff about each other.
I do remember that.
Very derogatory on their show, but it made both shows better. Because it was very controversial. And we have got a controversy going on here. And thank goodness I'm not a part of it. Here at this station right now.
Okay.
We have a controversy. You know what I'm going to talk... I'm going to bring it up right on the air, Glenn.
Okay, bring it up.
This is why I'm Geraldo and Donahue and all those guys. I'm going to bring it right on the air.
Don't go trying to find a vault down in the basement.
And this one is getting opened up and there's stuff in it.
All right.
Now let me try to tell the whole story.
Okay.
So people can get a full...
Do I know about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's culminating today. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh, okay. It has to do with me then.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Here's what happened. Let me get through this story from beginning to end.
Okay. Shut up, Glenn.
Okay, here's what happened. Because I want the audience to understand, because maybe they don't.
Okay.
Here's what happened. About 4 years ago now, I was covering the 2016 presidential election, and I found out about this guy, Dr. Ronald Fineman. who is the progressive professor, and he had written an article. The first time I had him on, I think the reason he had written an article that got a lot of attention about Trump not making it through his term, his first term. I think that was the first.
Because of assassination?
No, I think it was impeachment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But obviously he was wrong.
He writes about assassinations. That's why
that's
I wondered.
True. He wrote, so that's originally why I had him on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up coming on periodically on my show. Now, I'm not really sure how this happened, but at some point, Adam Lepp, who also does a show on this station,
mm-hmm.
took a liking to him and invited him on his Monday morning show at 10 o'clock. Now, I think this probably happened 2017 or something like that. And then every Monday, it was Dr. Feinman. There was no other guest. I mean, occasionally somebody else would be on, but not very often. It was Dr. Feinman every week. Now, this went on for the better part of 2 years, until about 2 weeks ago. Then 2 weeks ago, I'm tuning in one morning, and here we are a month away from the election, and there's no Dr. Feinman. And it was stated that there wouldn't be Dr. Feinman until after the election. And I thought, well, how strange to dump your politics a month before a presidential election when you've been doing it for 2 years. So then I get on Facebook, and there's a social media, I don't want to over dramatize it, but there definitely is a social media conflict between Adam and Dr. Feinman. Now, I don't want to say what they said to each other, because I think that's not my place, but it was there on Facebook, and they've gotten into a few little tiffs. And then I learned by asking Adam on the air, so it's not like I'm talking out of school here, that it just wasn't that Dr. Feinman can't appear. It wasn't like that. It was they got into a tiff, a difference of opinion, and that's why he's not appearing. That's, well, Dr. Feinman told me that, because Dr. Feinman wanted to come on my show at one point. Okay, so all that happens, and then today, Dr. Feinman ends up on your show for a series of what I think are going to be regular appearances leading up to the election. Well, that's what my understanding. I don't know for sure, but
we don't know yet.
We know today he'll be there.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of promotion, more promotion than I think you've ever done for anybody else on a show.
2 days.
2 days, which I think most anybody's ever gotten was one. So, and on your posts, Adam is making comments. Sometimes he's the only one making the comments. No, not bad comments.
Oh.
It's he can't wait to listen and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So there's a, do you see there's a little bit of a, it's not Jack Benny and Fred Allen, but there's a little bit of conflict going on there.
Can I explain why I asked him on?
Yeah, I'm
well,
done.
I know I can.
Right, but you know you've listened to him on Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've heard him on my show.
Right.
Right, but why ask him on 1 week after he was exiled from Adam's show?
Well, that's
whatever.
A good question.
Yeah.
And I, the reason why is all I knew is that he and Adam were not going to have their show anymore.
Right.
And so I thought, well, he's perfect for my Progressive Life show, because he actually, and I've read a lot about him in the last week, he and I think almost exactly alike. And
very similar.
Yeah, we
I've
are.
I've dealt with both of you.
Yeah. And is that good or bad? No, I'm not. I won't put you there.
No, okay, it's good. It's good.
But I didn't really realize that there was a tiff going on.
Oh, you did too.
I kind of knew that they had a disagreement, but I didn't know it was as dramatic as you're making
didn't
it sound.
Didn't know there was a tiff. Did I make it sound dramatic?
I thought you did, yeah. But
well, no, because I don't really know what the tiff was about, to be honest.
Adam has been very kind about it. He's helping do the electronic side of it, you know, the Facebook side, or not the Facebook side, but the he's getting him taped.
Can he just call in?
Huh?
Can he just call in?
Yeah, he can, but I think, you know, he's going to put him on our backlog of shows and stuff like that.
Well, doesn't he put all your shows there?
Yeah, he does, but I'm just thankful that he hasn't said, well, I'm not going to do that one.
Because you know there is a tiff.
Well, I guess. Now I do.
No, yeah. You did. Now, see, Glenn, you did know there was a TIFF because you know.
I know.
I'll tell you how you know. Okay. I hate to get into this with you, but we might have a TIFF before it's over.
You're getting one right now.
Here's the TIFF. Because you just said you booked him because you knew he and Adam were no longer doing the show together.
Yeah, I just didn't know how
well,
it was bad.
But hold on.
You make it sound very
last
bad.
Last week on this show, when Adam was here for an hour, uh-huh. We even talked about there being a falling out. So you did know there was a TIFF.
Yeah, at that point. Yeah.
Right, and you didn't book him till after that.
Yes, I had. I had asked, but he hadn't responded.
Right. So, but the booking had not taken place.
No. Huh.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So you did know.
I guess.
Yeah. But nothing wrong with knowing.
No, I just didn't. What I'm saying is, I just didn't realize it was such a big thing.
I don't believe in exiling guests. Here's why. I worked at a station one time. Where the station manager, who was also the owner of the station, got into a fight with a... It's always politics. Got into a fight with a local politician. And because that local politician would not come back on his show, he couldn't come on anybody's show.
Oh, my.
So I don't believe in that.
I don't either. And I was thinking about this yesterday during my walk. My mother brought me up... to forgive and forget. And if I had a tiff with Dr. Feynman and he didn't want to come on, that would be fine.
You know what you need to get to the bottom of today?
What?
What the tiff was. See if Dr. Feynman will tell you. Because this is station.
I don't care what the tiff
is. No, you don't, but maybe the audience does.
Well, they can call in and ask.
Well, no,
they
can't
because he'll be on
right.
the phone.
But no, it's interesting because it all happened on this station. It'd be interesting to hear what his perspective was. And because I think this, because not because it's Adam and Dr. Feynman, because of what you just said, that people are starting to lose friendships because of politics. And I'm not sure that they've lost their friendship, but it'd be interesting to know why that happened.
Well, I tell you, I have been struggling for the last week since I knew that Dr. Feynman was going to come on. I've been struggling with how do I tell my audience that he won't be on without making it sound like there's a big tiff.
He won't be on.
I know he won't be on, but I'm
no,
trying
but
to make
he will
be
on. What do you mean?
He won't be on Adam's show.
Oh, he won't be on Adam's show.
I don't want to make it sound like they hate each other, because I really don't think they do.
Well, we don't really know, though, Glenn.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying they do.
I don't want to stir the pot too much initially. Now, I may ask him next week or the week after if he decides to come on once a week, but...
Well, aren't you curious, though? Don't you?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not.
As a reporter, you're not curious.
I'm not a reporter.
Well, what are you, Glenn?
I have no freaking idea.
I would just think...
I'm an opinion person.
We're a local station.
Yes.
And we report local news.
Yes.
And as silly as that sounds, when somebody's a regular guest on somebody else's show for 2 years, and then all of a sudden they vanish into the ubiquity of life, and then they toss up on another show on the station, I think that's news.
I gotta look that up. Is that a real...
That's really, yeah.
Is that a real phrase?
Put it down there. Run that by the doctor later on. So, and you can... Because I've never had a problem with Dr. Feynman, and I probably will have him on once before the election, because he's political, but I know where he goes.
Yeah.
See, the other people... You know, sometimes you don't know. Like Jackie Mason, I believe this morning, talked a little politics. I believe he was for Trump.
Okay.
So there you go. We're going to go to break. We're coming back in 1 minute.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
/150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, having a great time on this autumn
day. Well, you cut
day.
That one close.
Did I?
Yeah, that was really close. Good job with that.
We got on. But no, we're in the middle of a big prize fight here on the station.
See, now, that's what I didn't want it to sound like.
Well, you shouldn't have came on today, Glenn.
Shouldn't have come on.
This is
past tense.
What did I say?
You shouldn't have came on today.
Whatever. Here we are.
My father, he was a... Not only was he a minister, but he was also a professor.
This is live
professor
radio
of English,
and this is not, to my knowledge. What I love is that Adam and the professor were very political. I'm sure you and he will be very political. You will.
I'm afraid that I won't be as good as Adam, because Adam gave him a backboard to bounce off of. Adam disagreed with him with things. I've read his stuff. I don't disagree with him on anything.
You can still ask him.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the programs are both political, but yet the skirmish I don't think is political. So that's what I like.
Okay. Yeah. I have no idea what it's all about. And
well, neither do I.
Yeah.
Really.
So. Anyway.
All I know is there was a skirmish.
Okay.
I've heard from both of them that there was a skirmish. So I do know there was one.
No blood, though, right?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But the phone lines are open. So if you want to comment on this skirmish, what do you think happened, and what would you like to say? Because Dr. Feynman will be on with Glenn today. It'll be a hullabaloo. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Thank goodness I set you up this morning with Sam Donaldson and Jackie Mason and Kreskin.
Yeah, there are people listening right now that would never listen to me.
Would never listen to anything else, but we got that one in. So
what is a hullabaloo?
A hullabaloo? Yeah. Big event.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a folk singing thing.
No. Like who? What? A folk singing
thing? No, that's a hootenanny.
Hootenanny. Hootenanny. Is that a folk? I thought a hootenanny was a country thing.
No, we used to do, when I was with that folk trio, we used to do probably a monthly hootenanny. Well, that's what we called it. Maybe we were wrong.
Maybe.
If you had been around, you'd probably correct
us. I would
have
said, this is wrong.
Yes, but you weren't even
I wasn't anywhere to be found. I wasn't anywhere to be found. 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in on this skirmish or anything else that's going on. I can't believe we have a skirmish like this going on here.
Okay. But you know, that skirmish you were talking about with Jack Benny and...
Fred Allen.
I do remember that, but my father and my mother and I, who sat around the radio and listened to things like that, we thought it was a kind of a put-on skirmish. And
it was.
You made it sound like it was, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
They liked each other.
Yeah, we didn't think that they really hated each other.
Because the payoff...
It's like you and me.
Oh, if you say
we
so.
We have skirmishes.
Do we?
Yeah. I don't like you. You don't like me. We
right,
understand.
But that's not fake.
Yeah, okay.
This ain't Jack Benny and John Chancellor. No, Jack Benny and Fred Allen. This is real.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is real.
But
you
that happens
me.
On live radio.
Now, I'm not dating any women, so you don't have to worry about me taking your girls away.
Well, you can have them.
I've just added both of the females that you and I know about.
Oh, why would you do
on
that,
on my
Glenn?
Friends.
Why would you do that?
Oh, because they're both very nice people.
No, you shouldn't do that, Glenn, because I'll tell you, we've mostly cleaned house of them at this particular
point. Oh, that's sad to say. Don't say that.
No, it made me happy. Oh, I did know that, by the way. Well, I knew about one of them. Yeah, because one of them did bring it up to me.
Okay.
But whatever. I said, well, why? I said, I've never said anything negative about you. Why wouldn't he?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no... I don't have any anger toward... I don't have any skirmishes.
Okay.
I'm just indifferent. At this point.
It's kind of like being dull-minded.
No, haven't you ever just got to the point with somebody where you're like, do what you want to do, be what you want to be, I'm just staying out of that brush fire?
No, I'm a romantic, and romantics tend to be more invested in their
I don't care.
Emotions.
I don't care. I got other things going on, Glenn. I got other people. I got other places to be. I don't have time to deal with people's little problems.
I just realized why I'm on this show.
Why is that?
Because I laugh at your stupid stuff.
Is that stupid? No.
I'm like my wife to me. My wife laughs at the stupidest stuff I say.
Why would I get involved? with any of them on any kind of like emotional basis to the degree where what they do is going to upset me or I'm going to care. I don't care.
They're both smart and pretty.
Not really. I know him personally, Glenn. I know him personally. I speak from experience.
I don't know him that closely, so.
I know some smart women.
Yeah, would you rather date a person that's smart or beautiful? And you can't have both in the same one.
Oh, definitely smart.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, because beauty wears away.
Yeah, it does. Fast.
You know, when we had Kaylee Krieger and Jeff Ruthen here on Friday, we had a discussion about good looks. Do good looks get you further ahead in life?
Oh, yeah, and I'd love to jump in on that. I think they do.
Well, I don't think they do, because Here's why. What I think happens is that if you have no talent, you might get hired for that, but they'll eventually get rid of you.
Oh, yeah. No. Good looks is a very short-lived.
Right, right.
But it will get you to the point.
But it doesn't get you anything worthwhile. And also, when you hit about 40, 45 and it starts to go away, then you are really in trouble because you've never had to develop another talent.
I will bring up and I can't remember her name. She sang on that contest where
American Idol.
American Idol, yes. She sang on that.
That's why I'm here.
She was from England.
Susan Boyle.
Yes.
Yeah.
She is not a good-looking woman.
No.
And she didn't last because she's not a good-looking
but
woman.
But she became famous for not being good-looking, and she got a career out of it.
Well, maybe.
Think about that, Glenn. Go ahead, caller.
This is an important message.
Ah, we got this one.
Your business is not registered with Amazon Alexa.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, no. Get the gun. I want to blow my brains out.
We're never going to make it. We're never going to make it.
Oh, I hate those calls.
By the way, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Unless you're recorded.
Which we're not right now.
Yeah.
Which we're not right now.
Okay.
But I don't. To me, it's kind of a moot point because if you don't develop any kind of a talent, if you don't develop any kind of a personality, you know what's interesting? I'm going to try to tell this story without offending, but it's weird because I think the person who said it didn't even realize what they were saying. Because I had this similar conversation with a man, And the man said, oh, I absolutely think looks count. Okay? Now, fast forward about a day later, and I don't even think I have had many girls on this program. Some are good looking, some are not. You really don't know in radio.
No.
Okay. So.
You and I are handsome as all get out.
Of course. Yeah. And I had somebody on, and this person said, boy, that person was really good, and compared it to other people who had been on by saying, you know, some of those other girls you have just get on and giggle and look at their phone. And yeah. see, he who had said looks matter in his own mind was making the good looking didn't matter to him. It was substance. When it in the end it came down to substance, it hurt his ears to hear the giggle and the phone and the da da da. That's not interesting. So I don't think that looks. I think looks. How would it be to get this great job and then you can't do it?
Yes. No, I agree with you on the long term. On the short term, it puts you in the door. If you don't get in the door, you have no chance. And I really believe after 74 years of watching this happen, the better looking people get the chance that the not as good looking people get. And if they can make it stick because they're good at what they do, they stick. And so, therefore, why do you think that they hire nothing but good-looking women on, well, good-looking people, not just women, on television? And not only that, but they have the dumbest people doing sideline interviews and stuff like that, but they're always gorgeous women.
But do you notice they're never the most popular? That's the funny thing.
That's because they're a side. Bar.
Right. But look at the women who are common names that people would know who are on television right now. Whoopi Goldberg. is on television daily now. Certainly you wouldn't say that's a beautiful woman.
No.
Joy Behar is on television daily. She's past an age when you shouldn't be on television anymore, according to all the experts. She's not a beautiful woman. Let's see, who else?
You're talking about an opinion show, though, a show that's made.
Yeah, but they had to get the job. They had to get in there somehow.
Whoopi and Joy were, in their day, were better looking. But not
beauties.
Joy was pretty good looking.
But she did not come to the television until she was in her 50s.
Yeah, but she was a decent looking. Anyway, there are jobs where, on television stuff, where your intellect is more important than your looks. But if you're an ugly, ugly, ugly person, you wouldn't get that job. I guarantee
you. I don't know, because I look at some people and I think sometimes that's the novelty. Have you ever noticed the primetime shows, the ones that get the biggest ratings and do the big... Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson.
Both handsome men.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's who's looking.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I would say they have the symmetry of features that makes them...
And who's that guy on MSNBC? Chris Hayes.
Chris Hayes.
Yeah.
He's cute.
What's the other guy over there who's on at 10 o'clock?
Lawrence?
Yeah. Lawrence O'Donnell.
He's a handsome man.
But they're not. They're not.
Well, you and I are men. We can't really
determine
that.
Well, look at this. There are not a single good-looking woman on in prime time on any of those channels.
That's a good point.
Yeah. What do you make of that?
But I think you're wrong.
But is there one? But look, during the day when less people watch is when they put those people on. But when they need the big ratings at night, what are they going for? They're going for talent.
But
Larry King.
Yeah.
There you go.
He wasn't a great looking guy.
25 years.
But he was very controversial, and people like controversy.
I think he just had the best guests. I think if you do the best you can, if you get the best guest, if you work harder than those people, it doesn't matter how they look.
Okay, I disagree with you. I'm just going to leave it at that.
If two shows are on tonight, and you've got a good looking person who's going to sit there and read the teleprompter for 25 minutes, and you've got... the president being interviewed by the ugly person, which show are you going to watch?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch the ugly person, right, because it's more substantive.
Right, so the looks don't matter.
But I will go back. The first impression gets, like Nora McDonald, ABC, is it? She was on The Morning for a long time. Absolutely gorgeous woman. They took her off and bumped her up to a 7 o'clock show or something like that. And that show dropped as soon as she left, as far as ratings go.
Well, she might have been good. I'm not saying good-looking people
can't be
good.
Well, she is pretty good, yeah.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying good looks are not enough.
No. I will never say good looks are all you need. No, but good looks will get you in the door. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I know who I've brought on. And I used to have this conversation with one of these girls, and we got a minute to the break, so I'm going to try to say this quick. But I used to have this, and we had it on air, that there are two types of girls. There are the beauty queenish type of girls,
mm-hmm.
and I think guys, in a way, are not comfortable approaching them because they're
true.
So beautiful. But then you got the girls who are just okay looking. And my contention has been, if you're getting a lot of attention from guys, you're probably not beautiful. What you probably, because they think you're obtainable. If they don't think you're obtainable, they're not going to pay attention to you. So I think you are not beautiful if you have a lot of guys pay, but they'll take that attention and they'll say, this means I'm beautiful. And Glenn is not going to comment till we come back from this break. In one
I have one.
Stay tuned. Ted, did you know President Harding's dog, Laddie Boy, had a gold collar?
That's not so unusual.
Really?
No, he had a golden collar. I have a golden voice. Tomato, tomato.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back here about an hour away from the controversy today at 1210.
No controversy.
Don't miss that. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. We were talking about tin-type it here. I don't think that the most beautiful women get a lot of attention because I think guys think they're unobtainable. I think if you're average looking, if you're getting a lot of attention, I think you're average looking because guys think you are obtainable. There you go.
Okay.
That's the throw.
I was lucky when I was young. I was a fairly good-looking young man. I was a model and an actor and that sort of thing. I think the general public would say I was a good-looking, I wasn't a knockout, but I was a good-looking young man. So I always dated the most beautiful girl. My wife still is a good-looking woman. She was a cheerleader in high school and college. The girl prior to my wife was probably the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. Now, again, it's in the eyes of the beholder.
It always is.
Beautiful. But I would say everybody that I knew said to me, how come you always date the most beautiful girl? And I did. I always dated the most beautiful girl, and that's what I looked for. And I've admitted to you on this show that looks have meant a lot to me.
Right, but what I'm saying is, do you really think that the most beautiful women get the most attention? I mean, I see this in bars.
I don't know.
Which have become pickup places. If a girl looks just outstandingly beautiful,
people are afraid of them.
People do not approach
them. No, I agree with that.
But the one
I used to play that game.
Yeah, but the one who is okay looking and, you know, dressed up because they're at the bar and they're there for the same reason the guy is, now they'll get a ton of attention.
Now, see, I used to play that game. Because I wasn't ugly, I knew that I could approach them. And I was scared to death to approach a beautiful woman. But I always hated that they were so haughty.
Hoity. Hoity-toity.
About their looks. Because you kind of feel that when you're looking at them. One time, absolutely gorgeous knockout, was sitting in the student union in Valparaiso University, where I was going to college. And she was sitting there. Nobody was talking to her because she was just a knockout. She went to light a cigarette, which we all did back in those days, and I saw her fumbling for a lighter. Well, I had one. I ran across the room and slid on my knees with my lighter lit to light her cigarette, because I found that if I was aggressive with these gorgeous women, I found most of them were pretty nice people. My wife has a very high IQ. The girl prior to my wife, the one I was talking about that probably was the most beautiful woman I ever dated, she scored a 1600 on her SAT, so she was brilliant. She ended up marrying a French doctor because she was brilliant and left me standing there at basic training with a Dear John letter. It was so sad.
Oh, that's terrible.
Anyway,
my heart bleeds peanut butter.
Yeah, I know it does.
Right now, it's horrible.
Anyway, I'll leave that alone.
No, but it's what you just said then is my point, is that the girl is sitting there all alone because she's the most beautiful. But if you take the average-looking girl, I bet there are guys around her.
Yeah. That's why I didn't mess with the average-looking girls.
Right, but it's interesting to me because in the girl's mind, because the girl's getting a ton of attention, she thinks she is just gorgeous.
But you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, but you can't explain that to them, that the reason they're...
You're really ugly, lady.
Well, the reason they're doing that is because you think they're obtainable, you know? And that's true in all life. I mean, think about cars that you go to...
You've got to be more proud of yourself. Go ahead.
Well, think about cars that you got to be, you know, if you go to the car lot, if you know you only have a certain amount of money to spend, even though you might think that's the most beautiful car in the world, you can't obtain it. So you're not even going to go look at it. You're not going to test drive it.
True.
Because you know you can't get it.
Yeah.
What one are you going to drive? You're going to try to find the best looking thing that you can afford.
I once drove a Griffin, which was, I don't know, back then, $70,000, which was huge money. But I drove it because I went to the car lot and they had it. And I said, I'd like to drive that. And they let me drive it. Now I had to have a guy ride with me. And back then, that was a little unusual. Now it's not. But I guess it's kind of your the attitude of the guy. There are guys like me who kind of pick on whether I didn't pick on good looking women. I found them more approachable because nobody else was approaching.
Right, but that's still the point. You're right. Nobody was approaching.
Yeah.
But I think this is more about the girls who are listening that have to understand that because you're getting more attention.
You're trying to put down the girls.
I'm just trying to get them out of their delusion. That just because you're getting more attention than person A doesn't mean that you're better looking than that person, which sometimes they think. Like, you know, I heard a story one time about how this girl was absolutely in love with this guy. And he wouldn't give her the time of day.
Is this guy's name Scott?
Oh, they all are in love with me. What's to say? But the girl was in love with the guy.
Yeah.
Okay? And confided in another girl that she was. Well, the other girl had already dated the guy.
Oh.
Okay? But never told her that.
Prior knowledge.
Never told her that.
Yeah.
So, the girl thought, I'm better. But the girl who dated him envied the girl who could not date him. She said, oh, she's got so much better qualities than me. She looks better. And she thought, but well, this means that I'm better than her because he chose me. That's not how I read that. How I read that is I think he thought she was obtainable and the other girl wasn't.
No, I think you and I agree, kind of agree, but I disagree. I still stand on my statement that good looks get you the first. Get the door.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying if you don't have the talent, it isn't going to work.
No. I truly enjoy.
If you come on and giggle and look at your phone, it isn't going to work. No matter if every eyelash was turned by God, it still is not going to work.
That is a prime example of things that all young women should pay attention to. Don't look at your phone all the time. How stupid does that look? And you see it all the time. Gorgeous young things sitting there at a restaurant with their boyfriend across from them or their significant other across from them, and they're looking at the stupid phone. I don't know.
Well, it's a whole complicated thing. But
yeah,
I know,
I'm an old man.
Well, but no, it goes back to the conversation that we were having Friday, and I believe, and also as they get older, there's
nothing.
We didn't
have a conversation Friday.
Jeff and Kaylee and I did. And just seeing that crumble as age goes on and time goes on is depressing, because then it's not depressing for me, but it's depressing for them, because then they really have not developed anything else.
My wife worries that she's gotten older. She's 75 now, and she's still a good-looking woman, but she looks older, and that has bothered her. Now, my wife was lucky. She never wore makeup because she didn't need it, and so therefore she hasn't really changed in her looks. She, you know, we all get little wrinkles and stuff like that. She's got those, but as you get older, and this is just a word to the young people like yourself, as you get older, you'll find out it really makes less and less and less difference what your looks are.
Well, it never made any difference to me.
Except, well, yeah, I believe you.
Because I can't stand people who are...
like me.
Self-absorbed. No, that's not self. I can take a self-absorbed person, but I don't like people who can't. If I can't have a conversation with you, we got problems.
Oh yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
So you can be the greatest looking thing in the world if you're not saying anything. Then you know, or if you're mean, if you're angry, if your life's depressing, you know, everybody's got hardships. But if that's all you can talk about all the time, that wears on you.
If you lived in Rwanda, you wouldn't even worry about the stupid stuff you're worrying about right now.
Right, and it becomes, and also trust is a big thing. Mm-hmm. So there are many things that come before looks.
Now, you always look good. I mean,
oh, thank you, Glenn.
I don't mean to
stroke
make
it.
That sound.
Stroke the ego.
I don't. That's not a a Trump answer. You always look like you're clean. And
I shower every day.
And coiffed.
Yes.
And your clothes look clean and stuff like that. I think that's important. As you get older, I make sure that what little hair I still have is combed. I make sure I brush my teeth and shower every day. Well, I don't shower every day since I'm retired. There's one day a week that I just kind of lay around the house. I do my walk, so I do stink. But I think it's important to spruce yourself up. As you get older, because you don't want to offend people. There are people that don't do anything as they get older. They just get smellier and older and nastier.
Well, when I'm with somebody, though, if it's a girl, I try to make them laugh. I try to engage them in conversation. I try to not give them the experience that I think everybody else has given them.
Yeah,
good. Yeah, if it's somebody who I think is good-looking, I'm not going to do that thing where you just have bow down. I'm going to hit them with things.
I've asked several young ladies when I was younger, and also as I've gotten older, what do you look for in them? Matter of fact, I have a granddaughter that's 16. She's a pretty girl. I have asked her, what do you look for in a boy? It's not how good looking he is. It's not what he's driving. Does he make me laugh? And that's what
people. It's the Phil Donahue line, and I was telling this story to you. Know the Donahue line, don't you?
No.
No, okay. It's a great story to tell, and as we end out this hour on this subject. Phil Donahue was not famous when he was younger. He started in Dayton, Ohio here, and he married a girl, I think, out of college. It was either college or high school sweetheart, and he had his five boys with that person. And then he did get famous, you know, went to Chicago, big show, and they got a divorce. Mm-hmm. And he was single for like 5 years. Well, on his show, not in college, not in high school, he meets a famous woman, already famous, named Marlo Thomas. Mm-hmm. And they get married. Mm-hmm. And everybody said, because the high school, you have five kids, that's your wife who's not famous, you met her when you weren't famous, that should have worked. This is certainly doomed. You're both
trophy wife.
You're marrying her because she's Marlo Thomas. You met her on your show, for God's sake. It's never gonna work. It's never gonna work. Meanwhile, 40 years later, they're still married.
Yeah.
And they asked him, "Why is that? Why did the first one not work and this one did?" And his line was simple. He said, "I made her laugh on our first date, and I've had her laughing ever since." That's it.
I understand that, but you know. Having dealt with an awful lot of professional athletes, there are very few professional athletes, and I only know one actually, whose wife is not what I would consider far above the average looks. And I would like to know why that is. And the one that whose wife is not above average in looks, she's a nice lady, I love her, but they got married when they were like 18, so they've been together a long time. And sometimes, like my wife and I, who have been married for 50 years, sometimes it's better to hang in there.
Well, here's some advice for you before we go to break.
Okay.
Don't look for a project. People do that sometimes.
Look for, oh, yeah.
People look for somebody who's broken.
Buy a car.
Yeah.
An old car.
They think they're going to be the one who's going to fix them.
Yeah, no.
They're going to be the one who's going to fix them.
Work.
Nope. It ain't going to work. You know, that's something I think more into the person who's looking for the person to fix. I think that's something more in their personality.
Yep, I think I agree with you.
Yeah, and they think they're going to be the one to fix
them. I hate to agree with you, though.
And it isn't going to be. Well, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a fight here today at 12:15 on this stage.
No, there won't.
Because it's going to be Glenn on the Progressive Life with a progressive professor who was once on Adam's show till there was a knockdown drag out.
But the phones will not be open, so therefore there won't be a fight.
No, but have you decided yet what you're going to talk about?
Yeah.
What?
I read his article. And he lists all the things that are bad about the current president, and I'm going to talk to him.
You know, and maybe, because Adam says he's going to listen to this show today, good. Maybe we'll hear from Adam in the next hour.
And I'm also going to talk to him because he's an expert on presidential assassination.
Fred Allen and Jack Benny. All there over again. Slugging it out. Dr. Feynman now on Glenn's show on Wednesday. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
It's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. Our age.